हरिः सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमाविद्विषा वहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। चैतन्य चरितमृत Chapter 8 talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. So, verses 1 through 8, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits Jiyara Narsingha. 2, 8, 1 through 3. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Gauranga, the ocean of all conclusive knowledge and devotional service. He empowered Sri Ramananda Rai, who may be likened to a cloud of devotional service. This cloud was filled with the water of all the conclusive purports of devotional service and was empowered by the ocean to spread this water over the sea of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Thus, the ocean of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became filled with the jewels of the knowledge of pure devotional service. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to his previous program, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went forward on his tour, and after some days arrived at the place of pilgrimage known as Jiyara Narsingha, Srila Prabhupada. The Jiyara Narsingha temple is situated on the top of a hill, about 5 miles away from Visakhapatnam. There's a railway station on this South Indian Railway, known as Simhachala. The temple known as Simhachala is the best temple in the vicinity of Visakhapatnam. This temple is very affluent and is a temple example of the architecture of the area. On one stone tablet, it is mentioned that formerly a queen covered the deity with gold plate. This is mentioned in the Visakhapatnam Gazetteer. About the temple, there are residential quarters for the priests and devotees. Indeed, at the present moment, there are many residential quarters to accommodate visiting devotees. The original deity is situated within the depths of the temple. There is another deity, a duplicate known as the Vijayamurti. This smaller deity can be moved from the temple and taken on public processions. Priests who generally belong to the Ramanuja Sampradaya are in charge of the deity worship. 2, 8, 4 through 5. Upon seeing the deity of Lord Narsingha in the temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his respectful obeisances by falling flat. Then, in ecstatic love, he performed various dances, chanted, and offered prayers. Sri Narsingha, Jai Narsingha, Jai Jai Narsingha, Praladesha Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. All glories to Narsingadev, all glories to Narsingadev, who is the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj, and, like a honeybee, is always engaged in beholding the lotus face of the goddess of fortune. Srila Prabhupada, the goddess of fortune is always embraced by Lord Narsingadev. This is mentioned in the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, written by the great commentator Srila Sridhar Swami. The following verse was composed by Sridhar Swami in his commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.1. Vagisha yasya varane lakshmir yasya cha vakshasi yasyaste hridaye samvit tam narsingham aham bhaje. Lord Narsingadev is always assisted by Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and he is always embracing the god of fortune to his chest. The Lord is always complete in knowledge within himself. let us offer obeisances unto Nrsimhadev. Similarly, in his commentary on the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 111, Sridhar Swami describes Lord Nrsimhadev in this way: Prahlada Hridaya Hladam Bhaktavidya Vidharanam Sarad Indu Ruchim Vande Bharindra Varanam Harim. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Nrsimhadev, who is always enlightening Prahlad Maharaj within his heart, and who always kills the nations that attacks the devotees. His mercy is distributed like sunshine, and his face is like that of a lion. Let me offer my obeisances unto him again and again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued praying. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsimhadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Footnote 6. This verse was composed by Sridhar Swami in his commentary on the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 791. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited various verses from the Shastra. The priest of Lord Nrsimhadev then brought garlands and the remnants of the Lord's food and offered them to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As usual, a Brahmin offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu an invitation. The Lord passed the night in the temple and then commenced his tour again. Simhachalam, he's the one that's always covered with sandalwood?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, the same
temple. Varaha Nrsimha. Varaha Nrsimha, yes. So this is also the place where you see his Prahlad Maharaj is talked about a lot, but that's always because he's with Nrsimhadev. But at this place in specific, because he said it's on a hill, this is the hill that Hiranyakashipu tried to, you know, throw Prahlad Maharaj off of. And I think it's just next to the sea. So he threw him off the mountain, but then Lord Nrsimhadev, in the form of Varahadev, then caught him. And then they spent some time on the beach there. There were some pastimes. Then Nrsimhadev left like that. And so this temple is there. And because of Hiranyakashipu dealing with Prahlad Maharaj that way, he's very, very angry. And so, therefore, they always keep the deity covered in sandalwood paste like that. So he just looks like this ball. And then once a year, they open it for a day, and you can have darshan, and then again, they start putting the sandalwood like that. So
Also, the Stala Puran says, after the whole pastime of Nrsimhadev's appearance happened, then Prahlad Maharaj later prays for him to show the form of Varahadev, who delivered his uncle also. And this place, he again shows the form. Varahadev
okay.
And Nrsimhadev together. That's why the deity is
Varaha and Nrsimhadev. Okay. Very nice. Yeah. Verses 9 to 54. The Lord meets with Sri Ramananda Rai. The next morning, in the great ecstasy of love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started on his tour with no knowledge of the proper direction. And he continued the whole day and night. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted to Vaishnavism many people he met on the road. After some days, the Lord reached the banks of the river Godavari. When he saw the river Godavari, the Lord remembered the river Jamuna. And when he saw the forest on the banks of the river, he remembered Sri Vrindavan Dham. After performing his usual chanting and dancing for some time in this forest, the Lord crossed the river and took his bath on the other bank. After bathing in the river, the Lord walked a little distance from the bathing place and engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna. At that time, accompanied by the sounds of music, Ramananda Roy came there on a palanquin to take his bath. Many Brahmins following the Vedic principles accompanied Ramananda Roy. According to the Vedic rituals, Ramananda Rai took his bath and offered oblations to his forefathers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the person who had come to bathe in the river was Ramananda Rai. The Lord wanted so much to meet him that his mind immediately began running after him. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running after him mentally, he patiently remained sitting. Ramananda Rai, seeing the wonderful sannyasi, then came to see him. Srila Ramananda Rai then saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be brilliant as 100 suns. The Lord was covered by a saffron garment. He was large in body and very strongly built. And his eyes were like the lotus petals. When Ramananda Rai saw the wonderful sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. He went to him and immediately offered his respectful obeisances, falling down flat like a rod. The Lord stood up and asked Ramananda Rai to arise and chant the holy name of Krishna. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very eager to embrace him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired whether he was Ramananda Rai, and he replied, "Yes, I am your very lowly servant, and I belong to the Shudra community." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Sri Ramananda Rai very firmly. Indeed, both the master and the servant almost lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. Their natural love for each other was awakened in them both, and they embraced and fell to the ground. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Ramananda Rai was an incarnation of the gopi Vishakha. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Lord Krishna himself, there was naturally an awakening of love between Vishakha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combination of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, and the gopi Vishakha is a principal gopi assisting Srimati Radharani. Thus, the natural love between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awakened as they embraced. It was interesting, like sometime before when he was first introduced, Ramananda Rai, then they were saying that, you know, the authorities then mentioned that he is the incarnation of Lalita. And then, you know, Prabhupada continues, and, you know, others are of the opinion that he is Vishakha, like that. So then now we see is that, you know, some pages later, then he introduces, he's an incarnation of Vishakha, right? Doesn't mention the Lalita aspect, because Swarup Damodar is that. Because otherwise some say that Swarup Damodar is Lalita, like that. But here we see is that, this is how we'll see it, at least specifically our line. Others may see in these others, because many times as you have, you know, somebody will be a combination of many things. So depending on what they're doing and your relationship and all that, then they may have these aspects. Just like, Jagannath Misra then is a combination of Nanda and Jashoda, and also Devaki and Vasudev Prishni and Sutapa, I think.
Sutapa.
Like this, and, you know, so many things. And then in the Gorgana Desh Deepika, because it has all these combinations. And then I think at one point, either before or somewhere during all this, then the author of the book says, if you don't appreciate this, you think, how is this possible? This can't be in that. He basically says, put the book down and walk away, you know. Because in these past times, you know, so many times these things happen. So from our perspective, then following here, we'll see in this way, Lalita and Vishakha. Because just because of the nature of how they do things and everything like that. So that's the, does that make sense? So sometimes you'll see like that. They'll mention whatever is, if there's a main understanding, they'll mention that. But then some say like this. You know, so generally it'll be mentioned afterwards, and it's always said lightly, you know, and then later on then it just said Vishakha. So that way then Lord Chaitanya taking the mood of Srimati Radharani then is always surrounded by Lalita and Vishakha, you know, her two intimate friends. And so then in that way then, you know, the pastimes are going on very nicely. Does that make sense? Yeah. Chapter 8, 24-28. When they embraced each other, ecstatic symptoms, paralysis, perspiration, tears, shivering, paleness, and standing up in the bodily hairs appeared. The word Krishna came from their mouths falteringly. When the stereotyped ritualistic Brahmins who were following the Vedic principles saw this ecstatic manifestation of love, they were struck with wonder. All these Brahmins began to reflect as follows. The Brahmanas thought, "We can see that this sannyasi has a luster like the effulgence of Brahman, but how is it he is crying upon embracing a Shudra, a member of the fourth caste in the social order?" They thought, "This Ramananda Rai is the governor of Madras, a highly learned and grave person, a Mahapandit, but upon touching this sannyasi, he has become restless like a madman." While the Brahmins were thinking in this way about the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw those outsiders and restrained his transcendental emotions. Srila Prabhupada. Ramananda Rai was intimately related to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he can be accepted as a sajatiya, a person within the intimate circle of the Lord. Right, because sajati, swajati, like that means we're of the same group. So he's the sajati of Lord Chaitanya, his inner group. The Brahmanas, however, were followers of the Vedic rituals and were not able to have an intimate connection with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Consequently, they are called vijatiya loka. In other words, they were not pure devotees. One may be a highly learned Brahmana, but if he is not a pure devotee, he is a vijatiya, an outcast, one outside devotional service. In other words, a non-devotee. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai were embracing in ecstasy, the Lord restrained his transcendental emotions upon seeing the outside of Brahmins, right? Because the mood is there, they'll think badly, they'll come up with so many ideas, they can create difficulties, they may make offense, so all these different things. So that's why then these elements of the of transcendental emotion and more close dealings and all things that may be more intimate then are always restrained when one is in more of a public environment. That's just the etiquette, you know. So when people just want to just show all the ecstasies and that, so either they're just not very well trained, a bit immature, or there may be an element of some status or something there, or so you just want to, these things you just want to avoid, because it's not a matter of it's about those who are of similar nature. Then you can interact with them in your natural form. Like you might have a good friend that you might interact with very closely, but when you're in a public forum, you might be careful of that. Like let's say you just always laugh and joke. So when you're in the temple, you may not laugh and joke because it's not the environment for it. So like that, you just see the environment, and accordingly, then that's the etiquette you follow. But it doesn't change the relationship or change the experience. It just means that you have to be considerate of who is watching. That's always there, because people may have ideas. Now here, these Brahmins are, proper ritualistic Brahmins, but it says stereotype because it's just understanding the ritual, performing the ritual. By performing the ritual, you get the benefit. So that's their whole position. That's their whole status. Excuse me. So that point of them following in that, that's pious and that's good and all that. But the purpose of following all the Vedas is to surrender to Krishna. So not appreciating that, not understanding that, they haven't taken their position far enough. So what they're doing is, it means their situation is good, just their realization hasn't come to enough high enough level. But at least they're piously situated. That's why they're respected, they're dealt with properly and everything. But they won't understand these things like that. Just a side point here, Ramananda, he's the governor of Madras, but that makes him a Shudra. Fun, no?
Professionally, the Shudra man.
Hmm?
Just before mentioned, professionally, the Shudra.
Yes. Yes. 2:8:29-36. When they regained their sanity, they both sat down, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and began to speak as follows. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke of your good qualities, and he made a great endeavor to convince me to meet you. Indeed, I have come here just to meet you. It is very good that even without making an effort, I have gotten your interview here. Ramananda Rai replied, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thinks of me as his servant. Even in my absence, he is very careful to do me good. By his mercy, I've received your interview here. Consequently, I consider that today I've become a successful human being. I can see that you have bestowed special mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Therefore, you have touched me, although I am untouchable. This is due only to his love for you. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan himself, and I am only a government servant interested in materialistic activities. Indeed, I am the lowest among men of the fourth caste. You do not Shudra. You are not contemptuous of my touch, although in the Vedas you are forbidden to associate with Shudras. It's interesting is that being a government official, it means when he's governor of Madras province, that basically means that it'll be starting someplace there at Orissa, you know, whether it's all at the edge of the present day border, but it'll be south of Puri, and it will go all the way down south. So basically it was one district, the Madras, like that.
Maharaj, after yes. The Cuttack. In the Orissa.
Okay.
Just before that is the border between the Muslim kingdom and Maharaj Pratap Rudra's kingdom. So it starts somewhere beyond Cuttack, all the way down up till Tamil Nadu.
Yes. So we can see it was very big at that time. Like that. So he's a governor of a very huge tract of land and therefore lots of people and everything. Because the thing in India is that, you know, you go back in time, it's not that there's a huge less amount of people, you know, like that. You know, so it'll be, you know, decently populated. And, you know, you have your cities and you have everything there. And it's all going on. So you can see is that he has a very big portfolio. But at the same time, we see that he is, even though he's such a big portfolio, you know, at noontime, he gets in a palanquin and goes with the Brahmins down and takes his bath according to the appropriate rituals, you know, and everything like that. And so, you know, it's not that he just gets on a horse, goes down quick and comes back. He goes in a palanquin. So that takes a little time and all that and these things. So these things are important for him. So he's doing these things. So he's not just an ordinary. That's why they mentioned here is that this Ramananda Rai is the governor of Madras, a highly learned and grave person, a Mahapandit. Right? So he seems to know so much Shastra and everything, even though he's a Shudra. But he knows so much and all that. And that was why it's, you know. But they take time for the sadhana and everything. So it's an important thing. So this idea of just managing and that's all. No, you fit it in. It's your occupation. You take care of it. You do the needful. But at the same time, you have to see that you as an individual, your life still goes on. Otherwise, if your life disappears, then what's the point? Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, Mam hi parta vyapasri sritya ye pi siu papayonayaha sri vaishas tata shudras te pi yanti param gatim. O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, as well as Shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. The word papayonayaha here means born in a lower class. According to the Vedic system of classification, women, Vaishyas, and Shudras belong to a lower social order. A low life means a life without Krishna consciousness. High and low positions in society are calculated by considering a person's Krishna conscious. That's what's to consider. It's not about who's more wealthy or this or that, because we see here is Ramananda Rai, you know, socially is a Shudra. And so he's considered, you know, of this lower group, even though he's one of the most powerful persons in India at the time. But, you know, still, that's just the way, it because it's about consciousness. So we can see is that the other way is if one is Krishna conscious, then one is in that higher position, you know, because it's above the devotional service is above what it's the purpose of what the Brahmins are, because these others, they're Brahmins, but they're not on the same level that Ramananda Rai is on because of his consciousness. So it's just a matter of socially that's there because the tendency is to be absorbed in things other than Krishna, like that. You know, the Shudras and their arts, the Vaishyas and making the money. Women will be, you know, absorbed in whatever activities that they're fond of. So these things will be very much there. They have less necessarily association with, you know, the Brahmins and the sadhus, like they have to sit in court with all these Brahmins. You know, they have to in the morning do all the rituals and the yajnas and give in charity and all this stuff before they come to court. They come to court at 6 o'clock. That means they've already gotten up early. They've taken their bath. They've chanted their mantras. They've done their pujas. They've done their yajnas. They've given in charity. All that's happened. So at 6 o'clock, they can enter the court. So, you know, so their lifestyle, even they can be, of course, like we see Duryodhana and others, they're not, but they may be, you know, very nicely situated in performing all the rituals, like Jarasandha. He was a demon, but he was very, very, you know, nice to the Brahmins and took care of everything and was very charitable and everything like that. But at the same time, he had all kinds of weird ideas on, you know, world dominance and everything, you know, same like Duryodhana. But we never hear of Duryodhana being overly, pious. We never hear, I can't remember any places where it talks about him performing all his, you know, pujas and rituals and yajnas and charity. Must be he's doing it, but, you know, it's nothing of special. You hear about Karna giving in charity, but he seems to have been at his noon bath, he would do that, because then the king will do all those things. He'll at noon go take his bath. He can again, if he wanted, give in charity. So he does there because he's a worshiper of the sun god. So I guess when the sun is at the zenith, then that's when he does all his rituals and that. So it's just by nature, the tendency is to not be absorbed in these, though you find individuals who are. And by nature, the Brahmins and Kshatriyas would be properly situated and all that, but you can have individuals who are not. So the real point is the consciousness. That's there. But socially, then one functions according to the social position. You know, so here he's a Shudra, but at the same time, because of his power and his wealth and his knowledge, the Brahmins respect him for that position. But at the same time, as he would never consider himself senior to them like that. He'd always take their advice and everything like that. It's just that's the whole point. If you're dealing with the government, you're supposed to be dealing with Brahmins. And they're advising you on, you know, according to Shasta, how you should do things like that. So there's this, the Vedic system, there's this such a balance that someone can be senior in one way, but, you know, on another way still be junior. You know, while in the modern is as if you're senior from all angles. But in the Vedic system,
Maharaj,
okay, high and low positions in society. Someone wanted to say something. Someone saying something.
We lost the last part that you said. You were talking about the how you can be junior in one position, senior in another, and then it cut out after that.
Oh, really? So things still on the what? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the whole position that Prabhupada's pointing out here is that the high and low positions in society calculated by considering a person's Krishna consciousness, right? So that's the actual thing. Okay, a Brahmana is considered to be on the highest platform because he knows Brahman, the absolute truth. The second caste, the Kshatriyas, also know Brahman, but not as well as the Brahmanas, right? Because their focus is then on other things. Not that they can't know, but you see in general, they won't know as much. But otherwise, the ones that do, then they're known as Rajarshis. But still, by the etiquette and the culture and all that, they still are following the Brahmins, because the point is Brahmins are following Brahmins. So a Kshatriya, he's supposed to follow Brahmins. And anyway, even if he is understanding more about Brahman, he'll still follow Brahmins because he values that knowledge, and therefore he follows in the footsteps of the Brahmins who know more than him. Right? So that's always going to be there. The Vaishyas and Shudras do not clearly understand God consciousness. But if they take to Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Krishna, the spiritual master, they do not remain in the lower castes, Papa Yonaya. It is clearly stated, Te Pi Yanti Param Gatim. So then by this definition, it still means that, yes, they have their position, how socially they're going to deal, because socially the dealings there is for gaining profit, right? You know, because that's the aspect there, is the social, is that if you run the four orders in the order that they are and everyone does their duties as such, then, you know, economically everything goes well, the piety, everything goes well in that situation. So that's the position that is there. But as far as this one about those who are sinful, you know, from sinful, the background is sinful, that just means that that's the position could lend itself to that direction. But if one is Krishna conscious, then then one's not in that status, one's in the higher status, like that. But it doesn't mean that socially you don't follow the position you're in. Right, like Narad Muni's a brahmachari, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't perform his duties like a brahmachari does. But at the same time, it's because of his position, he's respected when it comes to spiritual knowledge and everything. Does that make sense? Yeah. Unless one has attained the highest standard of life, one cannot return home back to Godhead. Right, it means higher standard, means there's a lower and the higher. Higher means you're God conscious, lower means you tend to not be so much. So when you've attained that, where you are endeavoring within the platform to try to always be God conscious, that puts you in the higher standing. One may be a Shudra, Vaishya, or woman, but if one is situated in the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness, one should not be considered Stri, Shudra, Vaishya, or lower than Shudra. Though a person may be from a low-born family, if he's engaged in the Lord's service, he should never be considered to belong to a Lord-born family. The Padma Purana forbids Vikshate Jati Samanyat Sa Yati Narakam Durvam. A person goes to hell quickly when he considers a devotee of the Lord in terms of birth. Although Sri Ramananda Rai supposedly took his birth in a Shudra family, he is not to be considered a Shudra, for he was a great advanced devotee. Indeed, he was on the transcendental platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore embraced him. Out of spiritual humility, Sri Ramananda Rai presented himself as the Shudra, Raja Sevi Vishayi Shudradhama. So Raja Sevi, he's in the service of the Lord, of the king, right? But he's not like a Kshatriya or something like that, who they're performing their Kshatriya duties, but, you know, in a junior position to the king. Here it's, you know, it's a job. Even though one may engage in government service or in any other pound, shilling, pence business, in short, in materialistic life, you need only take to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a very simple process. One need only chant the holy names of the Lord and strictly follow the principles forbidding sinful activity. In this way, one can no longer be considered an untouchable, a Vishayi or a Shudra. One who has advanced in spiritual life should not associate with non-devotees, because that's the point. Non-devotees will be in a lower position. Those who are devotees, that's automatically them, this higher position. Namely, men in government service and men engaged in materialistic activity for sense gratification or in the service of others. Such men are considered Vishayi, materialistic. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 11.8. This kinshanasya bhagavad bhajano mukasya param param jigam ishor bhava sagarasya sandarshanam vishayinam ata yoshitam cha ha hanta hanta visha bhakshanato pyasya dhu. A person who is very seriously engaged in cultivating devotional service with a view to crossing the ocean of nescience and who has completely abandoned all material activities should never see a Shudra, a Vaishya, a woman, originally quoted from Sri Chaitanya Chandradoy Natakam 8:23, 2:8, 37, 38. Right? So in other words, materialists are just avoided, right? Then the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, then they're supposed to be engaged in these kind of activities of spiritual activities, understanding the transcendental position. They're not, then they become Dvija Bandhus, you know, Kshatriya Bandhus, you know, like this. And so then their position is, you know, then they're a Vishayi, they're not to be associated with, right? Because like we see, Lord Chaitanya was avoiding associating with Maharaj Prataparudra because being a king, then he's in this category of being a Vishayi, materialist, right? But when he established himself as a devotee, then he's considered in that category. That's how he's seen. So for devotees, then you don't have to consider all these different things. But still, you know, etiquette is etiquette. And so that's just, that just gives a form, like we saw that in the relationships that are explained in Nectar Devotion, then there's natural forms that will be there for the different different positions, different rasas. And so it's just following those kind of aspects. So Nanda Baba and all that, it's like he goes and pays his taxes to the kings at Mathura. But it, technically speaking, he's senior to all of them, right? Like that. And so then, but it's still the etiquette is followed. That's there. So it's not, we should not use it as an excuse to get out of performing duties, but at the same time is that's not how we'll see people accordingly. You see is how are they Krishna conscious or not? That's the main point. Sri Ramananda Rai continued, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Therefore, no one can understand your purpose. By your mercy, you are touching me. Although this is not sanctioned by the Vedas, you have come here specifically to deliver me. You are so merciful that you alone can deliver all fallen souls." Srila Prabhupada. Narottam Das Thakur sings in his Prarthana 39. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kara More Toma Vina Ke Dayalu Jagata Samsare Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar Mo Samo Patita Prabhu Na Paide Ahar. My dear Lord, please be merciful to me. Who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? You appear as an incarnation just to acclaim the condition fallen souls. But I assure you that you will not find a soul more fallen than me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's specific mission is to deliver fallen souls. Of course, in this age of Kali, there's hardly anyone who is not fallen, according to the calculations of Vedic behavior. In his instructions to Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the so-called followers of the Vedic religion in this way, Madhya Lila 19:146. Veda Nishta Madhye Aradeka Veda Muke Mane. Veda Nishidha Papa Kare Dharma Nahi Gane. So called followers of Vedic principles simply accept the Vedas formally, but they act against Vedic principles. This is symptomatic of this age of Kali. People claim to follow a certain type of religion, saying formally, "I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Christian, I am this or that," but actually no one follows the principles enunciated in religious scriptures. This is the disease of this age. Therefore, the merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has simply advised us to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 17:21. The Lord can deliver anyone and everyone, even though one may have fallen from the injunctions of revealed scriptures. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy. Consequently, he is known as Patit Pavana, the deliverer of all fallen souls. So they have the formal thing, and there's certain things that formally they all follow. And because you do that much, then you are considered, you know, proper and everything's very pukka. But at the same time, as so much they don't follow, that they're not interested in, that their particular community, you know, doesn't see important. So it's just enough that they can present themselves as a that particular religious group or that particular level within the group and all that. But otherwise, fundamental principles aren't necessarily seen. You know, like Prabhupada makes the point is that the first point in the Ten Commandments is, you know, thou shalt not kill. And that seems to be, you know, most of the Abrahamic, that's, you know, a very, how you say, killing and eating things is a very central feature of their lifestyle, you know, like that. Or I think Mohammedan means, I think, one who is broad-minded, like that, you know, but at the same time as, you know, they're not being broad-minded, you know. And in fact, I mean, this contemporary kind of approach to Islam, they're looking at the aspect that the Ottoman Empire, they were so accommodating and broad-minded, and that was the reason that the empire fell apart. You know, they should have been more strict and more intolerant and all that. But that's against the principles of the religion. So if you're looking at, okay, the empire fell apart because of this, but the point is the point of religion to have a great empire? You know, or develop your relationship with God. So that's what is being meant, is that they say there are all these things, but many of the fundamentals they don't really even follow. Is that, you know, things like that. And we see from the Vedas that the point is you're supposed to be understanding Brahman, and from that the Supreme Brahman, and then engaging in devotional service. They're missing the point of that. So then, you know, they're following the Vedas also is just formal. Sri Ramananda Rai continued, "It is the general practice of all saintly people to deliver the fallen. Therefore, they go to people's houses, although they have no personal business there." Srila Prabhupada, "A sannyasi is supposed to beg from door to door. He does not beg simply because he is hungry. His real purpose is to enlighten the occupant of every house by preaching Krishna consciousness. Sannyasi does not abandon his superior position and become a beggar just for the sake of begging. Similarly, a person in household life may be very important, but he may also voluntarily take to the mendicant way of life. Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were ministers, but they voluntarily accepted the mendicant's life in order to humbly preach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. It is said about them, Chyaktva Turnam Asesha Mandalapati Shreinim Sada Tuchavat Bhutva Dina Ganesh Shakau Karunaya Kaupina Kantashritao. Although the Goswamis are very aristocratic, on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became mendicants just to deliver the fallen souls. Therefore, they may go from door to door just to induce a book about Krishna consciousness so that people can become enlightened by reading. Formerly, brahmacharis and sannyasis used to beg from door to door. At the present moment, especially in the Western countries, the person may be handed over to the police if he begs from door to door. In Western countries, begging is considered criminal. Members of the Krishna consciousness movement have no business begging. Instead, they work very hard to induce some literatures about Krishna consciousness so that people can read them and be benefited, because they don't have the culture and don't know who they are. Because here you go begging, and while you're there, you talk about Krishna and all that. Discuss, you know, the philosophy. But here they have no concept of that. But if one gets some contribution to a Krishna conscious, gives some contribution to a Krishna conscious man, he never refuses it. Because it'll be used for Krishna. One devotee was telling me he was, I think, in America, in the southern states, but I'm not sure which state he was in. But it was an area that they had, at that time, had never seen devotees, at least in that neighborhood. So he had gone out to a place. He didn't realize that the street, you know, it's one of those ones where it goes like this. You know, the street's coming along and it forks off. But it's right on the corner, so it's not square like this. It's on like this. So he goes over here to the first house, right? And so he goes up to the house and all that, dresses devotee and everything. Tilak knocks on the door, and now that, and the man comes to the door. You know, they always got a screen and everything. And she had just 1 minute, you know. He went back inside, got his shotgun, came out, told the devotee to lie down on the grass face down. He called the police. You know, so that's what Prabhupada's talking about here. They come and they call the police on you. So then the police came and this and that, and he explained what he was doing and what that and the books and this. And so the police understood. And he told them, you know, sometimes you meet people like this. You know, it's just, you know, they're very, you know, they said they're very simple people, so they may not understand and all that. Yeah, they may not understand. So then he told them, you know, it's just go somewhere else. Don't go to that guy, you know, go to a different area. So then the fun part comes is that because he was not where, I guess he dropped them off back there. Then where he's saying there, so instead of going to the house here, he went to the house here. But he didn't realize it was one property. Yeah. So then I think they called the police again. Police came, picked him up, said, hey, I told you not to do this. And now he says, I didn't know. I thought it was another street. It would be a different house. So he had to go a completely different area. Yeah, so Prabhupada's really making this point is that, yeah, they may call the police. Because it just, there's no concept, no culture of this. You know? 2:8, 40 through 49. You know, it's just like, you know, begging. Let's see, in the church, then they, I don't know how it does, but a lot of times to be a typical thing in older things that after the ceremony or that, well, they would pass around a hat. You know, because hats, you know, have the hat in, it's nice. And it goes around, and then as it goes by everybody, you know, puts something in the hat. And then that's given to the priest, you know, to be able to maintain the church. So, you know, they have the way. So that, okay, people, you know, are comfortable. But if you come to their door, then, you know, you got a problem. 2:8, and also you see many, I think all over the world, they'll even have a sign on the door, you know, no Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they just, you know, they just don't want people coming and talking, you know. 2:8, 40 to 49. Sri Ramananda Rai continued. My dear Lord, sometimes great saintly persons go to the homes of householders, although these householders are generally low-minded. And low-minded means not Krishna conscious. But they can be, like we see those Brahmins, they can be nicely following the Vedic culture, but if it's not about Krishna, then in that way it's low-minded. When a saintly person visits their homes, one can understand that it's for no other purpose than to benefit the householders. Footnote 7. This is the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.4. Along with me, there are about 1,000 men, including the Brahmanas, and all of them to appear to have had their hearts melted simply by seeing you. I hear everyone chanting the holy name of Krishna. Everyone's body is thrilled with ecstasy, and there are tears in everyone's eyes. My dear sir, according to your behavior and bodily features, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is impossible for ordinary living beings to possess such transcendental qualities. The Lord replied to Ramananda Rai, sir, you are the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, simply at the sight of you, simply the sight of you has melted everyone's heart. Right, so you say he's come down, let me say before, you know, he's come down there in his palanquin with some Brahmins. You know, you get the idea of, you know, two or four guys carrying the palanquin and, you know, my 6-8 Brahmins, you know, or something around like that. You know, here's, right, there's 1,000 people with him. So there's all kinds, so that means that the palanquin carries, but that must be there's all the military guys and everything like that. And then the Brahmins are in the front chanting the mantras. Although I am a Mayavadi sannyasi, a non-devotee, I am also floating in an ocean of love of Krishna simply by touching you. And what to speak of others? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew this would happen, and thus to rectify my heart, which is very hard, he asked me to meet you. In this way, each of them praised the qualities of the other, and both of them were pleased to see each other. At this time, a Brahmana Vaishnav, following the Vedic principles, came and offered obeisances. He fell flat before excuse me, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and invited him for lunch. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the invitation. Knowing the Brahmin to be a devotee and slightly smiling, he spoke as follows to Ramananda Rai. Right? So now we know from, what's it called? From Nectar Devotion. So this slightly smiling, that means the smita, right? Just a little bit. You can see it in the eyes and the cheeks a little bit. And he spoke as follows to Ramananda Rai. Because it said slightly smiling. If he was fully smiling, then it would be a little bit of the teeth, you know. Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the invitation of the Vaishnava Brahman. Even though one is a Brahman strictly following the rules and regulations of Brahminical culture, if he is not a devotee, a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should not accept his invitation. Like you see, Srila Prabhupada, people wanted to invite him for lunch, but he would only go to life members' houses because they've done some service. He wouldn't just go, someone wants to lunch and go there and that's it, and they don't do anything other than that. Because many times they're offering lunch and all that, but they're seeing it from the point that if they offer lunch, then the benefit is theirs, that karma and all that will go to the sadhu, and then their life being less bad karma, then they'll be more affluent and everything, they'll enjoy more and everything like that. So Prabhupada's point was is he would only go to people's houses who were members. Like that, you know. Unless there's some other arrangement, but like if you're in Bombay or Calcutta or Delhi, you know, big cities, then it's like that. If you some other places, then he would go to, like, and I think when they did that big program in Surat, then he would, you know, be just going to people's houses who had proper behavior and everything. At the present moment, people have become so degraded that they do not even follow the Vedic principles, to say nothing of Vaishnava principles. They eat anything and everything, whatever they like. And therefore, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement should be very cautious about accepting invitations. Yeah, so if you're going to people's houses that they're not vegetarian, they're not offering things to their deities and things like that, you have to be very, very careful. So then you'd even see the traditions that even you do go to people's houses like that, then at least in North, you have the tradition where they'll only give you cooked food like that. You know, because as a general, as daily eating in that, people generally eat uncooked food, right? Kacha, and then they eat paka. So uncooked means it's not cooked in ghee. You add ghee, like dal, you boil it, and when it's finished, you make a chaunce with some ghee and throw it on top. You know, chapati, you cook it, it's dry, and then you put some ghee on top after you've cooked it. Rice, you boil it like that, pour a little ghee on top. That's kacha. So that's the general thing. But kacha then carries more of the karma and all that. Well, paka just carries the consciousness. You know, it doesn't carry karma, but consciousness. And so therefore then, you know, they feed puris, parathas, you know, everything like that. It's all cooked in ghee. In other words, cooked in ghee means you put the ghee first, then put the item into it, and then cook it. Kacha means you cook it first, then put ghee after, right? So that's the meaning of cooked and uncooked. So raw doesn't really fit in, not on regular meals, right? They use raw sometimes for snacks, like that. So it's the opposite. So cows, they eat raw as a main meal. And now and again for snacks, they might eat something that's, you know, how you say, uncooked or cooked. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I'll leave the rest to you to figure it out. Yeah. And so that's there. Or sometimes you go to people's house and only take fruit, milk. That's it. You wouldn't take any grains or anything cooked. Because then it's just that it has even less. Does that make sense? So traditionally that would be there because sometimes people would want to invite you to come to their house, bless their house, discuss some things in Krishna, but they don't have any standards there that you can. So then they just, you know, cut some fruit, you know, give you some some milk or that, and then that's all. So Prabhupada's pointing out, you have to be careful about this because one of the main things is what do they eat? How do they maintain their kitchen? 2850 through 54. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I wish to hear from you about Lord Krishna. Indeed, my mind is inclined to desire this. Therefore, I wish to see you again." Ramananda Rai replied, "My Lord, although you have come to correct me, a fallen soul, my mind is not yet purified. My mind is not yet purified simply by seeing you. Please stay for 5 or 7 days and kindly cleanse my polluted mind. After that much time, my mind will certainly be pure." Right, so he's asking him, because otherwise you just see he comes in the day, stays for that night, and then the next morning he leaves. You know, and in that time he discusses and encourages people, inspires them in Krishna consciousness. So he's saying that because my mind is so polluted, please stay 5 or 7 days. You know, in other words, he wants them to stay 7, but you say 5 because otherwise if you say 7, it might seem like too much. So you say 5 or 7 days. Yeah. Although neither could tolerate separation from the other, Ramananda Rai nevertheless offered his obeisances to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and departed. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the house of the Brahman, who had invited him, and took his lunch there, right? Because this was the bath before lunch, the midday bath you take before lunch. So if someone's down at the river taking a bath, they're a sadhu like this, then you should be able to, unless he has another invitation, you should be able to invite him to lunch, because he definitely would not have eaten lunch by this time. When the evening of that day arrived, both Ramananda Rai and the Lord were eager to meet each other again. Verses 53 to 313. Sri Ramananda Sambad. Okay, so this is the instructions, you know, and the discussions there with that. 2855. After finishing his
back.
Yes. Okay. After finishing his evening bath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and waited for Ramananda Rai to come. Then Ramananda Rai, accompanied by one servant, came to meet him. Right. This time he came, it wasn't a big formal thing like he does at noon, he just came with one servant. Then Ramananda, okay, Srila Prabhupada, the Vaishnava, who is supposed to be advanced in spiritual understanding, be a householder, a sannyasi, must bathe 3 times a day, morning, noon, and evening. When one is engaged in the service of the deity, he must especially follow the principles of the Padma Puran and take regular baths. You should also, after bathing, decorate the body with 12 tilaks. Right, so that would be a standard thing, is that the Brahmins and the sannyasis would take bath 3 times a day. At the same time as anybody who's serious and all these things, they would take bath 3 times a day. That would be the standard. So Brahmachari would take bath, you know, as a general thing, Brahmachari one time, he takes bath in the morning, you know, because he's working busy all day and all that, doesn't have time for anything else. Then the Grihastha would take bath in the morning. Then he has his day at work, and then he in the evening again. But then the Brahmins, you know, worshiping the deity and doing these things, because they're always with the deity, they take the 3 times bath. The sannyasi, he takes 3 times bath. So then it becomes the cleanliness is a very prominent feature, because then that, you know, they're known as suci. Right? So the point is there should be regular bath, how much you can take, that just helps in maintaining the purity. And after bathing, then one puts tilak. 2856. Ramananda Rai approached Lord Chaitanya and offered his respectful obeisances, and the Lord embraced them. Then they began to discuss Krishna in a secluded place, right? Because now you don't have all these ritualistic Brahmins and that standing around. Srila Prabhupada, even though you saw they were so affected, but they wouldn't be able to discuss these things, right? As it is, you see, in nectar devotion, then discussing about Radha and Krishna, then it's the volume of material is very less there, you know, because it's something more how do you say it? Confidential. And so he writes a separate book just for that kind of discussion. So then seeing Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai and the ecstasies that are there, and being the association of the Lord and the devotee, then all these Brahmins, everybody else is all having these kind of like ecstasies and all that. But this may be, proper, or may also be this, what's that? Ratyabhas. Is that it? Yes? Yes, Ratyabhas?
Yes, my right.
Yes. So it's just by being in association that they're experiencing all these things. But at the same time, it's not that by associating, they're not getting benefit. So they are advancing. But it's just then one has to see, you know, what's going to, what mood is all that is going to be there. So here they want to discuss nicely these advanced elements of devotional service. And so because of that, then there's going to be, you need to do that without all these other individuals there. Srila Prabhupada, the word rahasthane, in a secluded place, is very significant. Talks about Krishna and his pastimes, especially his pastimes from Vrindavan, and his dealings with the gopis, are all very confidential. They are not subject matter for public discussion, because those who have no understanding of the transcendent nature of Krishna's pastimes always commit great offenses. But so it's just in general, it's there, you have to be careful, but especially when you're talking about the gopis. Because we see with the other ones, there may not be so much of a mistake being made, you know, because it's not the point of attachment is different. But then, and so they want to attribute to, in other words, they'll think about Krishna, okay, then how Mother just showed how he deals and all that, and then they'll think of their kid. Right? But they, so they'll think of Krishna in that spiritual, and they'll think of their relationships, you know, which may be spiritual, maybe material, or Krishna and the cowherd boys and the friends, and then you and your friends, or you know, Krishna is the master and then it's the servant, and then how you also see others in that kind of way. You know, that works. But when it comes to the conjugal rasa, then they see Krishna doing with the gopis, they do this with their gopis, and then they see Krishna as material. So that's why you just don't really discuss that publicly. Thinking of those who have no understanding of the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes always commit great offenses, thinking Krishna to be an ordinary human being, and the gopis ordinary girls. Following the principle of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who never discussed the dealings between Krishna and the gopis publicly, devotees in the Krishna conscious movement are enjoined not to discuss the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan in public. Now you can refer to their position, their mentality, that full surrender, those kind of things, the generic aspect, but the specifics, no. So we see is that first, that Shravana Dasa, that aspect you might be talking about, because it's just showing the elevated position of bhakti, how great is their affection and that. But the details of it, the Varana Dasa, that's not discussed in public. That's the whole problem. So that's the difficulty. The Sahajiyas, they don't make this distinction properly. So they take it that Shravana Dasa means hearing about the gopis, and then Varana Dasa means how you yourself are personally adjusting to it, right? Because you've already heard, and of course, because you heard, that makes you qualified, you know? And then Smarana Dasa, they're remembering, oh, now it's, 5:10 in the evening, so therefore Radha and Krishna will be coming back with the cows at this time, it's go duli, and so then the gopis are calling Radharani, and she'll come to the balcony to see Krishna as he goes by, or she'll come down and from behind a bush then watch. But you know, so that's what they think. You know, oh yes, I'm so absorbed in the Lord's pastimes. You know, so but the point is Shravana Dasa means hearing about devotional service and our position as servant of Krishna, and then the greatness of the service attitude of the residents of Vrindavan. Then Varana Dasa is adjusting with that mentality and then applying that into your position. So our position now is simply just a generic as servant, right? So that's the whole point. Till you're liberated, what's the meaning of dealing on a level higher than that? So that's why you just don't discuss these things. That it appears that there's standards for that, but no, it's by unqualified people. for the general, you know, it's like Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It just shows that Vrindavan's the best, and it shows the residents of Vrindavan are the best devotees. So that kind of thing, you're dealing with that aspect. It's okay. Sankirtan is, for the people in general, Sankirtan is the most effective method to awaken Krishna consciousness. If possible, one should discuss the principles enunciated in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Because that's it's the basis of everything. So that's general discussions are on Bhagavad Gita, you know, like that. In other words, it's on that's the Smriti Prasthan. You know, it could also be Shruti or Vedanta Prasthan. It just depends what kind of audience you have. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed this principle very strictly and discussed the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita with learned scholars like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati. However, he taught the principles of the bhakti cult to students like Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, and he discussed with Sri Ramananda Rai the topmost devotional dealings between Krishna and the gopis. For the general populace, he performed Sankirtan very vigorously. We must also follow these principles in preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. So therefore, like if you're in the city and that you go out, then it's by going out of the Harinam like that, the Harinam, the book distribution. These are the things that get things done. So book distribution, Sankirtan doesn't mean collecting money. Sankirtan means bringing people in contact with Krishna. Now, there are those persons that only by collecting money, then they're willing to get involved. So yes, that aspect is there, but it's not about collecting money. It's about bringing people in contact with Krishna consciousness. So if you go out on the street chanting the holy names, then they hear these holy names. They're purified. If you can distribute books, you can distribute prasad, that just makes it all that much better. But to consider that you're going out on the street and doing these things like that, and that's in the lowest level of collection of money, you know, that you're begging and all that. So therefore, then that's low class. No, we should just be working on the topmost level of people just donating their estates to us after in their wills. But that's not what Sankirtan's for. Maybe, you know, for if you're considering Sankirtan as economics, then yes, you might look at it that way. But the point is this, no, Sankirtan is about people being coming in contact with Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so it says we must also follow these principles in preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. So that's a principle. You want to say something or?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes.
You mentioned.
Okay.
Is it connected to having moral, mundane moral considerations, taking them as more important than Krishna consciousness?
Yes, it is. But it means, but at the same time, they're trying to bring up the status of the society, have people look at it in a good way and things like that. But the point is just because they see it as a good status, if they're not taking to Krishna consciousness, then how much are they actually benefiting? Yes, if they think better about the devotees or not, then that's there. But the point is it's not just because you have a nice facility that's necessarily what is impressive to people, right? You know, so it's not that because you have a greatly well-organized organization that's what's going to be the draw. I think, you know, professionals are attracted by that. No, they're already doing that. They come for how to, in their life, you know, apply the principles of God consciousness. That's why they're there. Does that make sense? So it has to be seen not on the platform of Artha, but it's the principle of Sad-Dharma. You know, so you're following God's laws. Lord Chaitanya went out and did this. Why not? We were famous before for going out in the street. We were in, you know, different movies and considerations simply because we were out on the street, you know, dressed in our bed sheets. We were in movies because we're the sophisticated together professionals. You know, does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, that's going to be, you know, Alec Baldwin. He'll do that.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so we have to be very, very careful that our own conditioning doesn't come into play. You know, that we're a devotee, so therefore I engage in devotional service. So therefore, whatever I myself think and do, then that's already, already authorized. We have to see it's what's in line with the acharyas. What do they give? What do they do? What does Lord Chaitanya do? And then try to do that. You know, and then you see is that, okay, if you have countries that don't allow it, then yes, then you do in people's houses and meet people like this. But the point is you're contacting people to give them God consciousness, connect them with God consciousness. That's what you're doing. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, the other day you mentioned the three features of Lord Chaitanya, then he's Chaitanya, Vishvambara, and then Gauranga. So then I think Shivaram Swami is coming with a new book and trying to, make the devotees community aware is that we have to cultivate three features, not only one or two, but the three features. And his point, as far as I understand, I didn't see the book yet, but that's what I heard, is that we're quite advanced in preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness. But in terms of, nourishing each other in Sajatiya Sangha, it's not as developed. And then in terms of, tasting the ras, it's not at all developed. And then even Siddhanta Saraswati, who was very conservative, he said after, 15, 20 years of chanting Harinam, then we can discuss those topics. But it's not publicly, obviously, but then we have to somehow create that kind of sangha.
Yes, because it's a matter of, means in the Jiva Doya, you're giving that knowledge, but that doesn't mean that in that same position that you're not studying the Shastras, right? So there's, it gets the funny thing is that one has to be very careful is that, we're preaching and all that, but at the same time is you should have the knowledge so you preach. So it's kind of like, oh, if you're reading books, you could be doing something else, And so many times, if that's not appreciated, managers can think that reading and that is a waste of time. So then people don't know. That's why Prabhupada introduced the morning and evening class in 1980. Because otherwise, before that, he just expected the devotees that, were to be understanding the importance. Books are there, they'd be reading them on their own. Unfortunately, I think only Satsarup Maharaj read the books. So then when the difficulties came up in 1980, he was the only one that could actually discuss the philosophy. And so that becomes the difficulty, or because, we've heard the basics. And so, yeah, it's there. But because we use the inductive, then we want to move up from that to something more. And so then you either get into technical scholarly things on one side, or we get up and we're getting more advanced in our performance of service. So then we get into these professional kind of things and, all these systems of management, But the point is since it's the descending method, you have to understand those things are on the top. Then according to your nature and ability and position, then you start bringing them down to your position to connect. But it comes from up, down, not that you elevate yourself like that, that we are doing all these things. So it becomes a difficulty is that the Samkirtan, yes, there's a lot of aspects that are developed there, but at the same time, as if we're not cultivating the philosophy, then that's where then the difficulty comes up is then how do you associate with devotees? That's not sure because, everybody has their own idea from their own background. It means devotees who are vegan and this and that, natural food freaks, that comes from their conditioned nature. That has zero to do with Krishna consciousness. It means, in other words, if they weren't a devotee, they'd be a vegan. Or they'd be a natural food freak. It's not that they were guys that didn't care at all about these things and used to laugh about it, that other guys did it, and now they're taking it up because they said, no, as karmis, they would do this before. it would be a consideration. Otherwise, why would you consider it as a devotee? And what has it got to do with us? You know? So that's all. Same with all these different political things, making everyone equal, and you know, the women's rights, the kids' rights, this rights, everybody's rights, but the Brahmin's rights, you know. Cows, because you know, oh, before, you know, the animals and the butterflies, before it was butterflies and this and that, you know, now we got cows. So that, but do any of those persons do anything for cows, right? Certain individuals do, but then those who aren't, they get confused and can't see that they're actually doing something for the cows, so they can take that stand. But everybody else, what are they doing? So that's the difficulty, is that these are just going back to their conditioning. It's the same thing, you know, people that have, you know, oh, well, you know, how can they be such a, you know, so an authority? How can they be such and such a position? That's because before, that's the way they were. They didn't trust authority. So it's just the conditioning. That's all. So that's the whole idea of anartha nivritti, is that through the chanting process, these things go away. But they'll go away if you let them go. Otherwise, if you hold on to them, then they're weeds. They'll grow. They'll grow. You're watering them with the chanting of the holy name. Why they won't grow? You know? So one has to be careful about this and see, that's why we have association and everything. So you have to have some knowledge to be able to understand. And that's where it comes into the, you know, so how to interact, because what is common food for devotees? Before it was pretty straightforward, rice, dal, sabji, and chapatis. What is it now? It could be anything, but then is it organic or not? You know, does it have sugar in it or not? Does it have salt in it or not? If it does have salt, what kind of salt? If it does have any kind of sugar, what kind of, you know, like that? What's that one called? Aga something or Aga? You know what I'm talking about? You know, there's all these funny sweeteners and this and that. And, you know, is it?
Agave.
Agave. Hmm. Okay. Yeah, you know, like that. And, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, like that. Why that? Why not maple syrup or something, you know, like that, you know. So. But whatever it is. So all these things come up. And then, so what do you eat? I mean, I had times, you go to, you know, you go to a temple, they say, oh, for lunch today, we'll go down to the restaurant. You know, they have their own restaurant, and you go there and you get something, some other devotees, they come over. And then the whole conversation is about why you're eating that. You know, you're a sannyasi. Why would you eat that? You know, oh, I thought you would eat this because you're a sannyasi. Or, oh, you're eating that. Don't you know that that'll kill you? You know, and it's just like, you can't. It's like, you know, it's insane. So where's community? So how do you have Vaishnav Seva? You do some service for a devotee. Oh, why is he getting service? Or why are you doing that? And oh, why should we be in that position? Why aren't we the Lord masters of all we survey? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that if you don't actually cultivate properly the understanding, you know, of Krishna's, Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, then how will you associate with devotees? And then if you don't know how to associate devotees, of course you won't know how to taste, because you can't tell the difference between what's sahajya and what's real. You know, like this point of discussing about this point, what just we mentioned before, like the difference in how you're defining the Shravana Dasa, Avarna Dasa, and Smarana Dasa. That makes the difference between a sahajya and a bona fide sampradayic devotee. Who can explain that? Who knows the difference? So as soon as you talk about Vrindavan and the gopis, oh, it's sahajya. But it could be sahajya or it may not be sahajya, but they can't tell the difference. You know, same time, that's sahajya, but if we're talking about management and this system, it's not, oh, that's karmis. You know, at the same time we talk about, well, you know, nowadays, you know, intellectuals, they think like this. They would not accept it if we spoke like that. We don't go, oh, that's jnana, which it is. You know, somehow the jnana and the karma is accepted, but then the bona fide Vaishnavism is not, because we hide behind, oh, that's Mayavad, or that's, you know, like what we're discussing in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. A lot of that knowledge, because of the terms used, many devotees would just think, oh, that's Mayavad. But no, you're showing how Krishna is, you know, he is Brahman, he is Paramatma, he is that. He is these three features. That's knowledge. That's tattva. Vedanti tattva vivadas. Tattvam yajjnanam advayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabite. That's the knowledge. Right there, what's that second chapter of Bhagavatam? You know, it's right there. So, but that, if, how to tell that difference? What is Mayavad? What is impersonalism? And what is the platform of transcendence that the devotees are situated on, in which they perform the devotional activity? So, like what we were discussing this morning, it wouldn't be known. So Prabhupada explains all that. You can see his purports come in all the time. But it's not being appreciated. So it's just a matter of these things are our line. Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya, then approaching the previous Acharyas. It works perfectly. We don't need to go to other sampradayas. We don't need to go to other scholars or this or that. So that's the difficulty. If they do get into it, they tend to go to other scholars, which we don't need. And so that becomes a difficulty. And so then, you know, it's a problem. So basically you could say as devotees have accepted the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, though they don't necessarily go in depth to study it nicely. And at the same time the religion though is not really understood at all. You know, individuals understand it very well, and they do nicely. They set up their community. Like you're saying, they write books, you know, trying to explain it all, and their community develops and all that. But others then don't. So this idea that studying and all that is a valuable thing, you know, they're looking for prestige and all that. They go out and get a karmi degree for prestige. Why not our own degrees? You know, they're going for their PhDs and this and that in the karmi world. Are they doing Bhaktivedanta and Bhakti Sarvabhauma? Absolutely not. Because even you have that, it's not prestigious. But at the time Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you see that the devotees at that time, the leading devotees, they had letters after their names, according to the degrees that they had studied from the courses given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that's how they present themselves. Because people see letters after the names, they don't know what they are, they'll ask. And then you explain, and then, oh, okay. You know? So that's the thing, is that it doesn't mean that people can't do those things. But they shouldn't think that that's what makes you qualified, because you're a PhD, now you're an authority in the society. In fact, there's a good chance that you're the exact opposite of someone who should be and could be an authority in the society. I mean, like, totally unqualified because of your degree. And others, they're able to use it very nicely. It's just a matter of where your values are. That's what we saw before. The previous point is on what is... higher social status and lower. Higher is that you're actually Krishna conscious. Lower is that you have value in the mundane morality. So therefore, it's just a matter of you switch the then immediately. Like you see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, right? Even though he's in that higher status by consciousness, he's in a lower. But as soon as then Lord Chaitanya, by discussing them, convinces them, then bang, immediately he's on that topmost platform as the greatest of devotees. So it's just a matter of that shift in consciousness, then anybody becomes a great devotee. Anybody becomes very, very qualified. But if not, no matter what your material position is, you're not actually qualified to lead in Krishna consciousness. You know? You're a good manager. You can manage as long as you're following someone else who does. Like many times you see these different mutts and that in India. Then the guy managing the temple, he's a good manager, but it's not necessarily he's necessarily that much committed to the practices of the temple. He supports it and tries to arrange everything, but that's as far as it goes. He in no way or shape or form tries to control the standards or that in the mutt or those who are dealing with that. He just organizes it so it runs. See that there's money, it runs, everything's paid, everything's there on time. And they do. They know that they're doing it as a service. And then the senior devotees, they're the ones that actually set the standards. But now there's a mix of that, because not understanding the system, then, you know, they want to be the managers, they want to be on the top, they want to be, you know, everybody, everything. Like that. You know, here we see Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. to the most qualified people, you know, even from the external point of view, and how humble they are. Yeah, so that's the standard.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah. And it's simple to do it. People would take part in the process, read Prabhupada's books, associate with devotees, then naturally these things would come up. They would naturally start to the Vaishnav Seva, because Vaishnav Seva was much stronger before. You know, in general. Now it's, you know, they still have good towards, you know, the you know, some leading devotees and that, then they'll deal nicely with, but interacting between each other and that the Dati Prati Greenati and that whole thing is less. Because if you break it down in the top, you break it down everywhere. You know, it's discouraged. Oh, you know, you're just doing all that respect for you know, your guru or the sannyasis like that. Then that's a problem. They'll never say that about a GBC or a temple president. Right? Sometimes it's just gurus and sannyasis. Because they're not exactly within the natural, that hierarchy of management. And so they're the ones you always, oh, why are you giving that? Why not to everybody? And it's like, what? So, you know, why is it you're giving attention to your kid? Why not to all the kids? You know, it's like, what are they talking about? You know? So that's the difficulty that comes up, is one gets distracted by one's own conditioning. And in that distraction, you forget what's the actual important things. But because people have been doing these things for so long and chanting, the purity, the background purity is so great, that if somehow or another it clicks what it is, then immediately, like you see, like Sarvabhauma, just immediately on that advanced platform. So the rectification is very simple and straightforward. It's just a matter of it happening. So all these things could be so easily established, because everything's there, everyone's heard these things. But it's just a matter of interest and purity, you know. Yeah. Okay. So we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, jai.